What's up and welcome to another episode of the Scott and Ian Show on the SBL Podcast. Today, a little bit of drama in the bass community. I'm not going to get into it here. That's what the episode is for. But we've got a little drama. We got to talk about it. We've also got why technique is everything and Scott losing the bass of a lifetime. Don't you just want to dive in and check it out? Hey, I'm not here to discuss it right now. I'm here to tell you what's going on at SBL this week, and then we're going to dive into the episode. We've got a mentor session coming up, I believe, on Monday the 28th with Jonathan Herrera, the hidden power of triads. You don't think triads are powerful? Oh, think again, dude. They're so powerful. Jonathan's going to tell you how. We also have the Technique Accelerator is open for enrollment at the moment. If you want to get it together, Scott thinks, and I am coming around to this idea as well, that technique really informs everything, that it underpins absolutely everything. So if you want to get that going, the Technique Accelerator is open for enrollment. Check that out. We also have Bass Space merch available until August 31st. I'm not donning any of it now, but I have in the past. We've got great hats, hoodies, shirts, you know, check it out. That's available until the 31st. That's all I got. Let's get into this episode.
We've actually got to do it.
Do we?
I think we've got to do it. Yeah, we've got to do it. Yeah. So we're going to be covering. I don't know what we're going to be covering. Well, I do know what we're going to be covering in this episode. So for context, we'll be doing it. We'll be talking about a couple of things. Maybe more than a couple of things in this. Maybe three things.
Yeah.
Maybe three things.
And it'll maybe say three things.
And we've started putting it in the title as well when we do this. But we'll be talking about three things, maybe more, maybe less, in this episode. And one of them we absolutely weren't planning on doing, but we were like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes into this conversation, my like jaw was flapping around on the floor, and I was just like, shit, we've just got to press record, because I actually do think it's valuable to people to listen to it. So I'll give them the headline, okay, and then you can fill in where appropriate. So. Last week, Ian, and many of you know that Ian uses a HX stomp as his tone producing unit.
Yes, indeed.
Right, yeah, indeed. And with
the TPU,
TPU, yeah. The HX stomp is the TPU. And with that, you can actually create presets. And Ian thought it'd be really cool because he's been working on these sounds for years that you might have heard him using on Instagram, that he thought it'd be cool to create a preset pack and sell it and say, hey, you know, if you want to, you know, use the sounds that I've been working on for years with this HX stomp, you can buy it in this cool preset pack that I've done. Wicked idea. And I've been sort of like hounding him like a mean friend, going like, get the preset pack out. Do the preset pack. Do it. Have you done it yet? So I've been that guy.
I know.
Anyway, so he did it last week. All's good in the world. As you'd expect, lots of people, I asked Ian earlier, I was like, how long have you been doing the Instagram thing for? And he was like, 4 years. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So this is 4 years of pent-up demand for the Allison Allison tone. Okay, so as you'd expect, when these presets went up for sale, loads of people went and bought them. Hint, hint, you can go and get them. Where can they get them? IanAllison.com.
Yeah, IanAllison.com or IanMartinAllison.com if you want to type in more letters.
You've got both.
I do.
You sexy beast. Okay, so you can go to either URL, okay, and check him out. Anyway, so everything was going swimmingly, and, you know, Ian's happy. Finally got these freaking presets out. Finally got them out. Website looks sexy. You know, design. Shout out to Emily. Looking very cool. And
yes. So yeah, Emily, freaking, my wife, did the artwork for the presets. Yeah.
And then while everything's going great and Ian's chilling and sort of like, you know, sort of like enjoying the fruits of life, like, actually, I don't think he actually purchased the presets. Somebody sent them to him. So they sent him these presets and he did a review and then basically put them back online and made them available for free. Now, I know I'm sort of like missing some kind of like, you know, little bits out there, but ultimately that's what happened. And then if anybody's going to go and race and try and get them now, you can't because they've been taken down. But it was interesting that that we've talked about this before. Like, I've been doing this since, I don't know, like, you know, 2009 or something like that. Anyway, I've been doing this like online sort of like thing and business thing for a while now. So, and with that comes like lots of people to call you out and basically, you know, just be mean to you online, because that's part of the world that exists online. There are always, hey, we're all friends here, right? Okay, great, wicked. Okay, there's some people out there, they're just dicks. Just, that's the reality. And if they weren't out there, the world would be a weird and sad place. We need them to value people that aren't. Do you know what I mean? I really like it. You know, if everything was freaking black, you know, there needs to be black and white in the world. Yin and yang. We need dicks in the world to sort of to celebrate the people that aren't. Right. All that to say that I've had a lot of, you know, sort of like, I don't know, sort of like shit in the past. Online, people doing whatever, just being gnarly and nasty online. And Ian and I have had sort of like, you know, conversations about it. You know, Ian's had he's had some, but this is the first time that he stepped into my shoes and I was like, oh yeah.
You were like, welcome to my world.
Yeah,
baby.
Welcome to my world. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, hey, let me just say this. I actually do get a kick out of some controversy. Like, I when you say people, we need it in the base world, I know what you mean. Like, I get a kick out of, you know, the Jeff Berlin stuff. I've gotten a kick out of other players, you know, that have had these sort of public controversies. And this one is pretty small in the scheme of things. But I did think it was surprising, because this is a guy, I'm not going to name the name, but this is a guy that I didn't know. And I didn't even know about the group. It was a Facebook group that was like a Helix or HX Stomp community. And this is the guy, that is like a moderator and the guy that set up the group. And so, you know, I mean, it'd be pretty easy to figure it out if you want to try to figure it out. But, you know, I remember like seeing this, he called me names. He called me a used car salesman and did a review of the pack and was really, and it's fine. He didn't like it and that's okay. But what I responded to was, the fact that, you know, there was like some name calling and he, you know, implicated that I hadn't worked on the presets, which is crazy. I mean, my response was, maybe everybody else is just smarter and faster than I am. That could be like, but because I've really worked hard on these over years. I mean, honestly, and procrastinated, you know, working on them and getting them out. So the work has been extensive on these presets. But then, yeah, he put them out. He actually took them, got them. I didn't send them to him. I don't know who sent them to him, but he got them and put them out on his on another page that's a, you know, that you can just join. Anybody can just join this page put them out for free. And he renamed it. It's funny to me. He renamed it like IMA Craps. Dude, and I was telling Scott, and Scott's outlandish. Just blood started to boil. Dude, and Scott like pushed record. We're like, we're talking about it. Oh man. And he ended up taking that down, but it was strange. Like, it was really odd to get that amount of like character assassination and vitriol from someone that I didn't know. So we've never had a conversation. We've never connected online. It was really, really strange. I thought it was. It's fine to not like something someone does. It's fine to even say, hey, I don't think this is a good product. That's totally cool. I welcome it, because actually then it gives me an opportunity, which is what I did, is to go in and find those people that asked about it. He said, ooh, it's terrible. And I was saying, well, I don't think so. I mean, obviously I'm biased. I'm the one selling it, but I think if you tried it, you might really like it actually. And so I gave everybody an opportunity to like, no, see my side of this. Yeah. But the thing that did cross a line for me was like the name call, you know, the name calling, and also, then just taking the product, putting it out under a mean name.
It's crazy, crazy, crazy shit behavior. two things that I want to say for people listening. Number one, okay, when you're going and doing stuff online, be aware that there are some people out there that won't behave well towards you, right? So I'm being kind. They won't. They'll say mean things. They'll call you names. They'll do that whole thing. And I'm saying it because I think that it shouldn't stop you doing it. I think that just because somebody's going to do that, I think that... And also, if you're thinking about going online and getting involved in those communities and putting your playing out there as a player, it probably won't happen straight off the bat anyway.
Sure.
It definitely, when you get to a certain level of people following you, just the law of averages means that some people that sort of like you're going to come into contact with online might be a little off kilter. And
absolutely.
So I don't want us to talk about this experience to, stop anybody being involved in online communities and most importantly, putting themselves out there. Cause I do believe that you should be putting yourself out there and being involved in those communities, showcasing your playing and doing that cool thing. Because I think it's such a great community to be involved with, even though there are some, you know, people that are a little off kilter. And then the second thing is that to the people that might have the inclination to do something, to call somebody a name, to pull somebody down online, you know, and just be mean to them, or to go all completely freaking ham like this guy did and do something outlandish, which is really like, it is completely outlandish to do that, to get somebody's product that they've worked on and they're selling, to actually get that, change everything by one parameter and then put it on. I actually think that's stealing. So that's my personal opinion. I think it's really out of line. That said, you know, so this is to the people that might, and I'm not saying you will do that because that's kind of extreme behavior. But just, in, you know, when you're online, try and be freaking supportive and understand that everybody is a real person. Like I generally ignore all of the sort of like mean comments, but sometimes I break, you know, every like once every 3 years, I'll be like, no, it's too much, you know? And this guy once was like, he was freaking ribbing me for the way I talk. He was like, oh, he's got a stupid lisp and he like stutters and stammers sometimes. That freaking annoys me so much. And I just like went into the comments and I was like, mate, I was like, I'm actually a real person. I'm right here reading this and it really hurts, you know? So just that, you know, and also I will say that some of us as well, like some people aren't freaking mean all the time. You might have shit happen in your life. You might be feeling a bit whatever, and I've had that happen to me where people have been mean to me and actually come back and apologized afterwards. When I first introduced when I first launched the SBL membership, the academy, right? When I first launched it on day one, when I'm like, oh, are people going to like it? I'm not sure. This guy emailed me. And he tore me to shreds.
Wow.
To shreds. He was like, this is an absolute ripoff. How dare you try and charge for something like this? This is, you're spitting in the face of people that have followed you over the last few years. I remember that statement. He actually, you're spitting in the face of the people that have followed you over the, anyway, I was really hurt by it.
Well, that's a really small way to think about it too. Like, it's a small way to think. I cut you off.
But here's the weird thing. He comes back 6 months after, maybe 12 months, whatever it was. He comes back and because we didn't converse, he just sent this message and I was like, I don't think I responded. And I probably would do now. But anyway, so he sent me this email. He said that. And then a year, like 6 months or a year later, he messaged me back and he was like, hey, I sent you a really mean message.
Mm.
Whenever it was 6 months, 12 months ago. And he's like, and I really regretted it. And he said, and watching what you've built over the last, let's say it's a year, watching what you've built over the last 12 months, is just so inspiring. And I think that what you've created is something that will change the way that people play bass.
Wow.
For decades to come. I want to take back what I said and tell you to keep doing what you're doing. And it was like an opportunity for me to learn that to my point earlier, sometimes just people have a bit of a brain fart. You know, they freak out. Sure. They say something that they maybe mean at the time or whatever. But, you know, and I guess my point is that before you send the mean message, if you ever feel like sending that mean message, just take a moment, right? Take a minute, take an hour maybe, and just really think about what you're about to do. Because, you know, the majority of people out there are actually trying to do great stuff and are lovely people. And I think it's a real disservice to yourself to kind of like let yourself stoop to a moment in time when you're gonna, you know, when you're gonna look back and be really freaking unproud of who you were in
and
that
it's,
moment.
It's so important to ask yourself in a response. So the temptation is to punch back, is to try to win. You know, you see that a lot of times in comments. So someone will say something and someone will snark back. And then it's just someone's trying to get the upper hand of verbiage to sort of win and make the other person not know how to respond.
Yeah.
And ask yourself what you have to gain, because it feels so good. You think all these thoughts, right? You think all these thoughts when people say mean things, but ask yourself, what do you have to gain in this interaction? And I have found for me, I've learned this from you, Scott, you are so good at diffusing this kind of thing. You go on and do like a video, like a Loom or some kind of thing. Yeah. And you're like, hey, I just want to set the record straight. I want, you know, that's so amazing. And I think for me, I just try to speak to that stuff with vulnerability and say, hey, whatever you think about the product or whatever you think, that's totally fine. But this really hurt my feelings and I thought was unnecessary. So, you know, I told this guy, hey man, I thought like he called me a used car salesman. I said, you know, I just thought that was unnecessarily mean. And that's just true. And that's not me saying, hey, man, you're a this, you're a that. It just like it hurt my feelings. I'm like, oh, man, that's really it's a bummer. That's not how I feel about this stuff. In fact, I haven't been doing this for the last 4 years. I've been sitting on this project wondering if I should put it out. You know, I mean, the last thing I think of myself is that. But, you know, to hear that, I was like, oh, man, that's a bummer. And so I just wanted to say that comes across to me. It like hurts my feelings and it's unnecessarily mean. And then guess what? You stop talking. And then you know what happens? You've seen this happen before too. People go, people read all this stuff and they go, yeah, maybe that was a little unnecessarily mean. And then they go after the original poster.
Oh yeah. Right? The original poster always gets roasted. Yeah.
Yeah. And just know that anybody out there who's listening to this, just know if you feel like you want to spit some vitriol, if you want to get your hurt and trauma out online and take it out on someone else, because that's truly what I believe this kind of behavior is. It's hurt and trauma that you're taking out on someone else. If you want to do that, it will only cause you more pain. Yeah. Want to know the result of this whole kerfuffle and interaction? I sold more stuff. You know what I mean? Like it had the inverse effect of what this guy wanted. It had the inverse effect. And then people left his group.
Bonkers.
And I'm thinking, man, it's a bummer. And I even said to him, wow, if we would have had a relationship before this, I would have been happy to send you this stuff to check out, to demo. The moderator at the HX like Facebook group, are you kidding me? I would have absolutely sent him a pack.
I want to believe
we would have been friends.
I want to believe that he was just, there was a moment in time, you know, where, cause actually it's like real. I've had things like that happen. Like people saying shit things. Also people trying to steal things and like delete files and all of that. But I haven't had, you had a combo of it all. You had a double whammy. And I think that I'd like to think that this guy, isn't that guy. You know, I like to think that he isn't that guy. Maybe it was a moment in time. Maybe it was a moment in time and he'll regret that in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy,
you never
man.
Know.
Great story. Great story. And also, great to go through. I know it's painful to go through because I've walked over those hot coals before, but it is good to go through because what it does is, because I think that you're going to continue with your career, you know, and I think that
100%
your viewership will, you know, you'll gain more viewership and more followers. And that in turn, just to what I was, you know, speaking about earlier with the law of averages, that means that you will have more experiences like this. And what it does is it gives you, the experience to be able to deal with things like this, because it's kind of when it first happens like that, it's shocking. It's like, you know, brutal.
Yeah, a bunch of people sent me, you know, screenshots of all the stuff, and it was shocking, and it just made me sad because, you know, whatever, it's fine. But poor me, right? Oh, poor me. I just always want the opportunity to try to come at stuff in a positive light and do the things I say I'm going to do and act in ways that I, you know, and like actually follow through with the things that I say I'm going to do and try to be a supportive part of this community. I love this community. So, you know, it's fine if you don't like the stuff I have, but don't take it and put it up on your website.
No, dude, no, please don't do that.
Or if you do, don't tell me about it. Don't make it public.
No. Wild. Anyway, next on the dock is that I've got a one of my programs called the Technique Accelerator. It is open for enrollment right now. So I just wanted to give everybody a heads up about it because it's a really interesting, well, not an interesting course, it's a really awesome course, I know that, but it's also something I believe is like fundamental to playing the bass, you know, and it had such a huge impact on my own bass playing when I kind of figured that bit of the puzzle out and really started dedicating time to really focusing on my technique. So that's why I wanted to give everybody a shout about it. It's a 6-month program. Okay. 6 months.
Diving into the deep end.
Yeah. Where you're going to get a lesson every single week from me. Yes. For half a year. So if you sort of like can put up with that, if you can put up with me every single week for 6 months, you should definitely go and check it out. What's the URL, Ian? It's sblrocks.com, isn't it?
Oh, is it sblrocks.com?
Yeah,
put me on the spot. I'm like, I don't know.
Let me just check.
sblrocks.com. That's right.
I think it is. Let me just check it out. sblrocks.com. Is it? It's loaded. Slowly loaded.
I need to ask you a question.
We're
going to find this URL, and I need to ask you a question.
Go for it. Oh,
is it SBL Rocks?
Yeah, it is. Okay. SBLRocks.com.
All right.
Sorry, I'm like half asleep here. I'm still in shock from the early conversation. But yeah, it's just SBLRocks.com. Go there, you'll find it. Go for it. What's the question?
Check this out. When I was doing my effects seminar at Bass Space 2023, shout out to anybody and everybody who attended Bass Space 2023. It was so fun. You did a bunch of lives, right? You did soloing, you did technique. What else did you do? You did four of them, I think, right?
I did.
Sorry to put you on the spot. Soloing.
Like, yeah. Introduction to soloing. I also did advanced soloing.
That's right. Yes.
I did the 6 critical technique exercises that every bass player should be using. And then something else as well. I can't remember the other one. Bass lines, maybe? Well,
and they were so well received and people were so into them. And then a bunch of that stuff sort of spilled over into other seminars and people would, you know, ask questions that sort of were posed by you or inspired by your seminars in other seminars. And I saw that in mine. And I was talking all about this idea of sound. And so my career has really been based on parts and sound so much more so than, like, I've gotten more juice from the squeeze, as you would say, out of thinking about the sonic signature of something. More so than the notes, right? And so I have this whole thing around, like, wow, you know, the thing that you play, the sound and the note choice is more important than the amount of notes you play.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I have this thing and I'm talking about that and I'm working and I'm demonstrating those sounds. And then someone says to me, someone said in the comments something like, but in order to make those sounds, you have to have a really good command of technique. Like, what do you think about technique on the bass?
Yeah.
And it is something, dude, it's something that I gloss over all the time. And I said back in it, you know, well, I think Mr. Scott Devine would say, I think he would say that everything is predicated on technique, that everything is predicated, that groove is predicated, that speed is predicated, that your sound is predicated, that fluency, vocabulary,
time,
improvisation, walking, time, styles, everything is predicated on technique. And my question to you, good sir, is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, it's the foundation that you build the house on. So, for instance, if you're trying to execute a line and it doesn't sound great, right? It doesn't sound how you've heard other people play it. In general, it's going to be because of your technique. If you've got, like, a bit of a, I'm sure that you've worked with bass player, like, students before, and they've got a bit of a wacky sound, you know, like, you level everything off, everything on the EQs at 12 o'clock, everything's good, but the sound's still, like, clacky and wacky or whatever.
Yes.
What is it going to be? It's going to be their technique. If somebody's trying to play it, somebody's trying to play up high on the fretboard and they feel like, oh, I can't get up the higher end of the fretboard without feeling like really awkward, it's going to be their technique. If somebody's trying to play a groove or a fill and drummers do this as well, right? They play that fill and they lose the time. They lose they slightly go out of time. It's their technique. Do you know what I mean? They're not executing that on the grid as they should be. Their technique isn't where it needs to be. So it's like everything. So what happens is the frame that I like to give people when I'm talking about technique is you can practice all of the other shit, all of the scales and the arpeggios and the frickin' all of that other stuff. You can be transcribing people, doing the whole thing. But if your technique isn't locked in and where it needs to be, it is like trying to walk up a mountain with a freaking ball and chain around your foot. It's going to be this invisible roadblock. And you're always going to be wondering, why can I not play that line? Why can I not? Why does it not sound like that when I play it? And also just to say that when people think about what is good technique, everybody thinks, oh yeah, like playing fast. It's not that at all. I don't think it's that at all. I think that great technique facilitates you to be able to play fast and quick lines.
Yes.
But it isn't, that isn't the thing, right? It's about dynamics in your playing. Like, that's technique. Can you play quietly? Can you play loudly? Have you got like a really fluid control of that? Can you actually bring that in and out through like a line you might be playing? You start it off and then you bring the volume down, and you know, like all of that dynamic stuff that you're using, which is, you know, when you hear one of those bass players that sounds awesome in general, it's that super locked in groove and it's just this great command of dynamic within the line, and all of that comes from technique, and it's all stuff that I didn't have locked in at all. So my obsession and ultimately like the creation of this course, the Technique Accelerator, was really, before I even decided to you know, do the course, it was actually my own experience was my playing hit a roadblock and I couldn't get it past it. And I didn't know what it was. It was,
right, okay,
it was, yeah. Yeah, it just, like, I was, like, listening to these bass players and I wanted to, and they were executing these lines that I wanted to play. And when I tried to play it, it just didn't, I couldn't play it. And I didn't know why. And I was like, but right. You know, going back to, like, I think I've mentioned it before, I had a great conversation with Gary Willis, and Gary Willis, he said, I'm going to paraphrase here, but he said something like, mastering any instrument is a matter of problem solving. You need to figure out what the problem is, and then you need to figure out how to fix the problem. And yes. A lot of the time, that comes down to creating an exercise to unlock something within your playing. So that's the approach that I started to take with my technique, because I was, like, really messy. I had all kinds of things going. Muting was all over the place. Couldn't play fast. My little finger used to stick out like this off the fretboard. Like, everybody, you know, I've had a lot of compliments about how my left hand looks on the fretboard and how it moves around and it's kind of fluid and all of that good stuff. And that was not the case until I was actually in my, I think, like, maybe 24, 25, 26. Like, I'd actually been playing professionally since I was 18 to around, like, by my early 20s. And my playing had done okay, but then it had just hit this roadblock and I just couldn't get past it. And when I got into that problem-solving mindset, I figured out that what I thought is that I actually think that this is all to do with my technique, and I really need to go on this problem-solving mission of creating these different exercises to help me start, you know, maneuvering out of where I am and to that next level that I wanted to get to. And that entire experience, so here's the weird thing, that entire experience of me kind of feeling stuck within my playing and then getting to a point where I was like, oh, actually, I'm really happy with my technique now. I'm feeling really fluid. I can play these lines a lot closer to what I was aiming to. That whole journey took 6 months.
Yeah, wow.
So I went through that, and then after, and this is before SBL. This was like way before SBL. This was like, I don't know, like 7 years before SBL.
Sure.
8 years before SBL. But when I started SBL, one of the first things that I decided I wanted to do within the sort of, like, the educational content I was creating is put together a technique course that would take everybody through the exact technique exercises that I created to do what I did in that 6 month period, which is why ultimately the technique accelerator is 6 months long. It's, you know, and it's 6 months long because it kind of, like, as a hat tip towards, hey, it really took me 6 months to kind of revolutionize and completely change my technique and my approach to maneuvering around the bass. But yeah, that was the idea.
Did you feel, because, okay, here, this, it's sort of a loaded question. I just sometimes see people online. I'm thinking of, there's a couple bass educators that come to my mind that say it's just sort of about reps. They say it's just reps. How do you build speed? How do you build, you know, technique? You just got to do it. You just got to do it and do it and do it and do it. But, do you resonate with that, or how would you counter that claim? Yeah.
Okay. So I think,
is it reps?
No, I think it's completely different for different people. So I'll give you some great examples of this. Hadrian Farreau, who is probably, in terms of technique, well, in terms of a lot of other things as well, but in terms of, I just did a burp. It was freely burping over here on the pod.
Dude,
anyway,
I love it. That means you feel comfortable. That's easy. What that means. It's good.
So, like, I was talking to Hadrian, and I was asking him specific, because his technique is like he's the chosen one, right? He came down from aliens. He was spawned on an alien planet and they dropped him on Earth and covered him in skin. And now we've got Hadrian Farreau. Anyway, I swear to God, he's green under there. If he ever cuts it, like, red blood ain't coming out of that dude. He's going to be green or some alien shit. Anyway, so I was talking to Hadrian and I was like, oh, you know, did you ever come up with any sort of, like, because of my experience is that I did, and he was absolutely not. He didn't have any technique exercises, really.
Wow.
He had a few, like maybe like two or three, and that was it. And I can remember watching Hadrian when he was 18 and he'd been playing bass for a tiny handful of years. And the dude was a freak show then. So I do believe that actually some people have actually just got it. They've just got it. They don't need to do what I did. They are just blessed with a dexterity that I didn't have. And just needed to put in the reps. So yeah, there are definitely a few people like that. I was not one of those. I was not one of those.
Neither was I.
Yeah, my technique wasn't going to develop like that. And I was in the, up until when I actually started developing that system that I created for the technique accelerator, up until that point, I kind of believed I was, because nobody told me any differently. And I think another quick shout out to Gary Willis is that when I was working, like transcribing a lot of Gary Willis, watching a lot of Gary Willis's lines. I also went to study with Gary Willis at one point. So I spoke a lot and watched a lot of Gary Willis. And through that period, it became really evident that he wasn't one of those individuals that was like Hadrian, who just magically had it. You know, picked up that instrument.
He worked hard.
He freaking worked like a bit. And he had all of these sort of like crazy technique. Like everybody knows about Gary Willis's right hand, right? All of them crazy right hand approaches that he has, where he's, without going down that rabbit hole, he had a lot of really amazing exercises and systems that he'd created to problem solve out of where he was and take him to the player that he is today. He'd sort of like done that. So that really was the, I guess, sort of like the inspiration for me doing that as well, problem solving my way out of it and creating that system that is ultimately the technique accelerator.
Well, and it's not to say that people that have it or seem to sort of have it naturally, I don't want anybody to say that we're just saying that Hadrian didn't work hard. He just didn't have to maybe build his own exercises. That dude worked hard to play the bass. He maybe had more inclinations toward like his hands didn't need as much guidance, or he just maybe didn't have to work hard on that aspect of his playing like you did, or maybe like Gary did. But the dude has played a lot of bass, can we just say?
Dude's played a lot of bass. He's played a lot of bass. And
let me ask you this. Can I ask you this question? What would you, how would you respond to this? I spoke to a guy who's way into Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and has this saying that in jiu-jitsu they say, let me see if I can get it right. What is it, dude? It's
never cup a man's balls.
That's not the saying. It's not the saying, but probably is a saying somewhere.
If I was in a Brazilian jiu-jitsu match and I didn't know what was going on, I'd go for the ball cup. It'd completely surprise them, and then I'd take them down. They'd be like, what happened? They'd be like, he cupped my balls.
Oh, dude, I'm afraid that you're not long for the sport, my friend. You're not long for the sport. You'll get bounced right out the building.
Anyway, as you were, Allison.
Slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's what it is. I don't think it's smooth is slow. I don't think it's that. It's that slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Check
it out. When someone in a martial arts is talking about like, how do I get that faster? How do I get it faster? It has to be smooth. What is smooth? Right now it's jerky. It's uncomfortable. It's unfamiliar. There's stuff in your way. Well, how do you make it smooth? Smooth is always the goal. At least this friend of mine telling me about this. Smooth is the goal. And how do you get something smooth? You have to slow it down. Slow, 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 because slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yeah.
Does that track
with
how you think about technique?
Yeah. It's a Navy SEAL saying, by the way. I just looked at it online.
There it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so I'm like really inclined to sort of like mention it again, but no, I won't mention cupping balls anyway. Lydia told me the other day to keep it she just mentioned, well, she, actually, Phil mentioned it, but shout out to Phil, shout out to Lydia. Phil was like, look, you know, Scott, you sometimes take it to the edge on the pod. And Lydia's just saying, hey, you know, don't fall over the edge. And I'm just saying that I'm not sure I did fall over the edge just then. I think I took it there, though. Anyway, so slow is smooth. Smooth is fast. Yes. And the reason being is that what you're doing in many cases when you're building your technique and using different exercises is that you are reprogramming the motor cortex of your brain. And because... And what the motor, which is right up here on the top of your head, and what the motor cortex does is it sends out signals. So when you go to strike a string, boom, that signal is sent out by the motor cortex, and hey presto, you pluck the string. And when you try and play a run, or you try and do whatever you're trying to play on the bass, all of that movement is coming from the motor cortex. And by slowing things down as you practice, it gives the motor cortex more chance to learn the new pattern, the new program that you're trying to teach it. Mm-hmm. You're trying to teach it a new way of doing, a new signal to send. You're trying to override a new, an old one and send a new one. And to do that, it really helps you to slow stuff down and take it real easy. And then once you've got that locked in, and I could talk about this in the course, actually, once you've got the it locked in and it's feeling effortless at a really slow speed, then you can start to crank it up. So it's definitely something that I, you know, recommend that people do. But also, and I do get into this in the course as well, is that sometimes there are other approaches as well where you're not going to start slow. You're actually going to start fast. In fact, you're going to start as fast as you can play. So there's this really cool exercise I take people through where you take three notes on one string and you just play those three notes, ba-da-da, 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 as fast as it feels comfortable. Not crazy fast, but ba-da-da, ba-da, whatever that is. Okay. So once you find that baseline of what speed you're at, in terms of those three notes on that one string, you then add one more note on the next string. Ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da. And then you add another note, and then you add another note. I call them speed bursts. And what happens is you'll slowly start to see that you could definitely, you could play comfortably those three notes quite fast. Mm. But as you stack on these different notes, your technique slowly starts to deteriorate.
Yes,
and it's a really great problem solving. It's basically like a fact finding mission. What you're doing is you're stacking these notes and you're looking for that point where your technique starts to break down. And when it does, then you start looking at, okay, why is it breaking down? You know, and there's a bunch of reasons why it will have broken down. And then I go into, hey, check this, check that. It's one of two things generally. And then once we've got that, then we start to, you know, continue through the exercise.
But dude, what about those sweet little like finger squeezies that you get on Amazon?
The Gripmaster,
you
know, dude.
Can't you just get a Gripmaster and just like shortcut this whole thing?
Just buy a Gripmaster. If anybody hasn't seen these, it's like weightlifting for your fingers. It's like a I can remember they used to sell them on the back of Bass Player magazine.
I feel like there was an ad that had like little biceps that were photoshopped into the guy's fingers. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Crazy.
Let's not advertise the Gripmaster. Don't go buy the Gripmaster, guys. Please it was do facetious.
Not buy
it.
Yeah. Please do not buy a Gripmaster.
It will just give you carpal tunnel.
Yeah. You don't want that.
Okay, I want you to answer this. I want you to answer this very truthfully. I want you to forget that we are bass brothers from another mother. Yeah. I want you to forget everything, and I want you to answer this very, very truthfully. Here it is. When you see me play the bass and you look at my technique, what do I need to work on to improve, and how can I be benefited by this program?
When I see you play, I don't see anything of where your technique can improve, because Because
that can't be true.
It's true.
Because I told you to forget that we are base brothers from another mother.
Because you're playing the lines that you were comfortable with.
Ah, yes.
You know, so like you've been playing for years. So obviously what you've got is great technique. You've got like really amazing technique to be able to sort of like play in the pocket. You've got that dialed in. You've got, you know, like really clean technique and you can move around the instrument really freely. All of that good stuff, right? But if you were trying to execute like a faster line, that's where I'd be like, okay, you need to change. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do the other, you know. And in general, it's exactly the same for everybody. You know, like in general, it's always the same, you know, sort of like when it's like if you wanted to start playing like super fast ascended runs, there is sort of like – It's like sort of like changing the angle of your fingers. It's like curling them over a little bit so there's like less movement and all of that kind of stuff. Because you actually play with quite straight fingers, I think.
I do. You're right.
Yeah, straight fingers. So it'd be like, you know, sort of like curling them over a little bit. Mm. And then also, and treating that as its own exercise. And that's where you run the reps, just going through sort of like ascending runs like that, where you just sort of like find it. And I had to do that actually when I, because I played with very straight fingers, and I found through going through that 6 month period of changing my technique that I couldn't play fast ascending lines with straight fingers. I had to change. Wow. Yeah. I just couldn't do it. It was just, because it's like, you're trying to move so much. Yeah, yeah. If anybody's listening to the pod, we're just sort of like flapping our arms around you. You're trying to move so much limb, you know, and look at the freaking length. Right. Look at the length of these.
The whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. So I had to reduce down the movement in my right hand and took inspiration from.
Interesting.
Yeah, like people like Gabby Willis and Matt Garrison and those. Like some people actually can play with straight fingers and do it fast, but I certainly couldn't. So. Mm. So, yeah, so I'd definitely be recommending stuff like that. And then in terms of, like, descending runs as well, you know, just really locking into whatever system you're going to use, whether it's going to be alternate as you come down or whether it's going to be a combi picking, whether it's going to be coming down and really dialing that in. And, again, isolating those descending runs, doing them over and over again until, you know, till you've got them really locked in. And then that's the kind of sort of like stuff if you wanted to play like really fast lines, that's the kind of stuff that I'd be getting you to do. Like those ascending lines, descending lines, and then various, and probably like loads of dynamic exercise as well. You know, just sort of like really, you know, you've seen me teach that stuff before, right? Where I teach like dynamics on one string, but it actually really helped me. Yeah, helped me as I was like ascending and descending through lines because I just had more control of each digit on my hand. Of the plucking hand, I should say.
Hey, check this out. Jonathan Marin.
Oh.
Hi. Hey, I just have to tell you that you're on the podcast right now.
Marin.
Scott and I are recording. He can't hear you, Scott. Scott's Marin. But Well, how you doing?
I'm good, but aren't you taping a podcast right now?
Yeah.
Have you got anything to share with the listeners? Okay.
Yeah, Jonathan, hey, anything just top of mind that you want to share with the listeners real quick?
You know what? I would love to share a playlist at some point of all my favorite sort of classic funk bass lines.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how I would do that, but I was just thinking about how I'm always talking about all these things that are sort of references to old funk, and a lot of people don't kind of know the old music. I don't know, maybe not that I'm a scholar, but I don't know. I have a playlist I would love to share someday.
Dude,
maybe that's what I would want to share.
That's an incredible word. I love it. This idea that like, everybody talks about funk, but do we actually really know the depths of the funk? We don't. I don't. So that's a good call. Dude, thank you for the call. Whenever your name comes up on my screen, it says Jonathan Marin. And then you know where you can put a company name for you. When I put you into my phone, I put all caps BAZZ and that comes up every time, dude. And it makes me so happy, but can I give you a call back?
Absolutely. All right. Bye, Scott.
See you later, dude.
All right. See you, dude.
Later, guys.
Sometimes Marin and I will just get on the phone. I love talking on the phone. I know you don't love talking on the phone, Scott.
But sometimes
Jonathan and I, like, we'll text about something, and then he'll call me, and he always says to me, "Hey, man, you know, quick, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I go, "Yeah, of course." And I do the same to him. If I'm like,
"An hour later,
you chat for just 5-10 minutes. Yes. And it's always an hour. It's just hilarious.
But
we were sorry about that. I saw it. I thought I could just let this go.
No, it's good. I think that more people need to have like more Jonathan Marin in their lives. Cause he's just a freaking monster player.
He's a monster player, and he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. Like he is a lovely human who makes amazing music, and
he came to like Bass Space the other week, and he was on the advanced soloing class. He was like, "Oh, I love the class."
Oh, cool.
I was like, "Whoa, yeah." So that was pretty cool.
He has heavy dynamic, and I should clarify, he has a really wide dynamic sense in his playing.
Yes.
He can play very soft. He can play really heavy, and within the scope of three notes, you see this massive range, and it's something that I've noticed about him. I've noticed that about you. I've noticed that about Nick Campbell too. I think I told you that.
Like, he's got that thing going on.
Yes, man. And it's really it's one thing to see it. You mentioned this about Sheehan too. Like, it's one thing to see somebody play online or hear a record, but then it is something else to be right next to them and hear them play, or see them and see how they attack. And this all just going to come back to this technique discussion that we're talking about, because that is something that I want. I want my technique to get better. I think you're right. The things that I do well are the things that I'm really familiar with and comfortable with. And that makes sense. But I've always hidden behind this thing of, I'm just sort of slow. I'm a slow player. I don't have a fast left hand. I don't have a fast right hand. And that's just who I am. And I think it's kind of bullshit, actually. I think it's sort of...
It depends what you want to play, I guess. You know?
It's true. Yeah. But everybody wants a little more horsepower, dude, right? Everybody wants a little more gas in the tank, dude.
I do.
Right?
I do. Like, dude.
Yeah, dude. Right? And when I hear the ease in which you... Like, those three guys, right? The ease in which you, Jonathan Marin, Nick Campbell, have this dynamic just beastliness and snap to the playing whenever you want at moment's notice. I kind of have to go into like, okay, I'm going to be playing hard now. You know, and okay. And now I'm going to be playing sort of soft. And I mean, it's a little unfair to myself. I can play dynamically, but there is an intensity around
what you want is that sort of like be able to sort of like play a groove and random notes like bam, boom, bam. Sort of like jump out. Yeah.
And I want it to be effortless, and it is not effortless. It's effortful at the moment.
The dynamic exercise that did that. Doing those, which are in the course. And by the way, if anybody's like, "Oh, Rick, just tell us where to go check out the course," we'll just hook up that URL for you, sblrocks.com. You'll be able to go there, check it out. And we only open it for enrollment once a year. So if you want to go and do it, if you want to come and do this, and again, it's like one lesson from me every single week for 6 months. So if you're, you know, sick of my voice by now, don't sign up. But maybe you're not. And maybe you want more. Maybe you want more of me in your life. And go check it out. SBLrocks.com. And basically the entire system that is the 6 month program is the system and the technique exercise that I use to completely change my playing. But go check it out.
I want to check it out too.
SBLrocks.com before it closes down. What else is on the dock, dude? We emailed back and forward for a little while, didn't we?
We sure did.
I'll tell you about a loss. I nearly got that pink Oliva Capullo. I nearly got it.
You didn't get it.
Didn't get it.
Dude, no.
Yeah. The guy didn't think it was me. I know. Oh,
really?
No. Yeah. He thought somebody was scamming him.
So he sold it to someone else or what?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I messaged him on Talkbase. Oh. And he... Oh, what a dick. Oh, like me, not him. What happened is, so about a year ago, I forgot my login for Talkbase. And because I've posted a bunch of times on Talkbase.
Sure.
So I created a new login that I've not posted that much on. Like I've posted a little bit on this new login.
Right.
And it's like Scott Device, my name and stuff like that. So anyway, so he obviously like looked at my profile and was like, huh, this guy's not posted that much. And he's calling himself Scott Divine. I think he's a scammer.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So I thought, I was like, I'd got this for context, everybody. I really wanted this Aliva Capolo 5-string. I've wanted it for 2 years. It's pink with white pickups and a dark tortoiseshell guard. And it's got a Brazilian rosewood fingerboard. And it looks beautiful. And I wanted it for, 2 years, maybe a little longer.
Yes.
And one of the members, shout out to which member, I'm not sure, somebody reached out to Laura and said, hey, Scott's been wanting this bass. It's for sale on Talkbase. So that evening, I was like, I saw it. I was like, clicked on it, and it said sold. I was like, oh, no. So I messaged the guy. Well, he said no longer available. Messaged the guy. And he actually said, oh, yeah, it's still available. I was like, game on. And I can't remember what was going on. I was like, oh, amazing. And then he said, can you, what would it cost to import it? I'm like, I'm not sure how much it costs to get it to the UK. Give me a day or so. So, you know, I messaged him back maybe like no longer than, 2 days later, maybe even like just 1 day later. And he's like, oh, so sorry, man. I was like, that was it. That was it. I saw a message coming on Instagram from this guy. He sent a message and he said, oh, I've sent you a message on Instagram. And I was like, oh, weird. Anyway, we get a lot of messages on Instagram.
We sure do.
What he was doing is he was trying to see if it was legit. It was me.
Yeah, right.
And because I'm a dick, I didn't go and answer him. Not immediately. So he thought, oh, I'm some kind of scam artist posing as Scott Divine trying to get, you know. And then I messaged him on Instagram, like after a day, I went, hey, yeah, it's me. And then I went like to message him on Talkbase and he was like, oh, sorry, dude, I sold it. I was like,
Dude, it's your own damn fault, Divine.
I know.
Well, he actually did due diligence. I think because the scammers are out there. Dude, check this out. Like last night, somebody in Japan, or it showed up as a Japanese listing on Reverb, was trying to sell one of the Lull IMA4s. It's
no way.
A green one. Yeah, it was. And in fact, it was the only green one.
So check this out. I think there's somebody following us then, because the same guy's done the same thing. It must be the same guy.
Really?
Can I remember I mentioned it? I said somebody's got the F-bass fretless.
Yes, it was a fake.
He'd pulled it off the original ad.
Yes, exactly. And then that's what happened here too.
He'd uploaded it as an ad, and he was selling it on Reverb.
And was it cheap?
I don't think it was actually. I don't think it was like cheap, but like not crazy cheap. It was like $3,000, something like that.
This one was yours cheap? crispy cheap, dude. This one was $1,500. I saw it showed up in my For You, and I was like, whoa. And I clicked on it. No reviews it was all the same, pictures from another posting. And I was like, oh man.
That's interesting. Yeah.
The cool thing though is we hit up. We reported it. So Spencer and I both, I sent it to Spencer. I'm like, is this legit? He's like, no.
How did you report it?
You can report on Reverb at the bottom of any listing. There is a little flag and it says, like, I'm going to go to a listing right now. And what you do is you can scroll down to that listing and you can say, report. It's at the very bottom of the listing. It's tiny. It says report to Reverb. That's actually all the way at the bottom. You scroll all the way to the bottom. There's a little flag.
Report to Reverb. Because I didn't report that. I was like, it did disappear. Hopefully, he just pulled it down. But how weird is that? So it must be somebody. That is listening to this podcast or is watching us on YouTube or something, because it is. It's pretty outlandish that it happened to me.
It's our bases.
And you. It's our bases, yeah. If you are listening and uploading, dodgy fake ads to Reverb, please stop.
Yeah, quit it.
Yeah, please stop.
Like, it's so odd and attention seeking. I suppose money seeking. Seek attention and money in a different way. Like, please. Let's talk to the scammers. But seriously, your life will improve so much if you figure out an honest way to make money and an honest way that gives value and like get your attention through value you produce, not from trying to make a quick buck. From trying to make a quick buck, dude.
And, or at least just don't do it with our bases. Or at least just like choose somebody else's bases. You know, like, I guess there's levels. What you're talking about the ultimate level. But there's the in between is just like, just don't add to our bases. How crazy is that? It's so weird, isn't it?
I'm gonna go on record to say, don't do anybody's bases. Don't do bases at all.
Don't do bases
at all.
Yeah, there's loads of guitar players out there. Pick on those. Sorry, guitar players. Dude, let's call it.
I'm sorry you didn't get your Aliva. That sucks. There will be. Hey, if anybody has a sweet Aliva Capolo to sell Scott, he's in the market.
Oh, well, the thing is, I really wanted that pink one. Because the guy hit me back and he was like, oh, my friend's got another one. It's like a blue one. And I was like,
you're like, nah.
Yeah, but I don't want the blue one, dude. I want the pink one. The pink one with the white pickups. I've been thinking about trying out some jazz basses recently. I mixed the album yesterday. That was cool.
I feel like we have so much more to talk about.
We do, but we can do it in another episode. But it was a great experience. It was, the F bass sounded sweet, which is great. So I was really happy with that. And
amazing.
Yeah, it was
sounding good?
I'll play you two bits. Here we go. And then we'll call it. Okay. Where are we? Trying to find it in Dropbox. This might sound completely wacky because obviously it's just off my phone down the mic.
This sounds crazy. Oh, Scott!
And then
it sounds huge.
Check how heavy this is. Oh my word!
Oh yeah.
Metal jazz.
Yeah.
It keeps going.
Dude, that is wild. Wow. You know, there was this episode that you played some of it, and for whatever reason, like, it got cut out. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah. Like, why did it get cut out?
I don't know, but I hope that didn't just happen, or else it's just us silently like.
Yeah. I don't understand why it got cut out.
I don't know either.
Was it the stuff that I was playing of the album, or was it somebody else's?
And just on your phone, just as you were. So, guys, if you just heard the wildest sax and rhythm section situation, then it's all good. And if you heard nothing, well, it's
that's
a problem.
Super weird,
we need to figure it out.
This is a cool one. This is a cool one. But bass solo vibes for you.
Oh yeah, please.
Bit melodic minor here.
Beautiful, man.
I do some shredding. Yeah, anyway. So wow, it's still like video.
Scott, that is killing. That is really, really lovely, man. There's a really nice sense of melodicism and just like, watch what I can do on the bass. You know what I mean? Which is so awesome. I mean, really, but like, but too much of just melodicism, you know, without a little shred.
Oh, you need
shred. Not as much fun. You need a little shred, but if it's just all shred, then it's just, it kind of turns into white noise.
Exactly.
That is really, really nice, man. Damn. It sounds great. Are you happy with the mixes?
Yeah, I am. Like, you know, I'm never going to get above 80% happy. I think that that's just sort of like what I am in life. But yeah, yes. I'm really happy. Like it was an absolute blast yesterday when we were mixing it. There's a couple of tweaks I want to make. But yeah, it was an absolute blast. And to hear, it really did make a difference, actually. Just hearing it all sort of like slot together and bringing out the keys parts and, yes, and everybody on it as well. Like Dave Binney, sax player, just sounds absolutely fantastic. Phenomenal. Simon sounds just outrage. Just outrage. Yes. Can I play you one more? Just
of course.
This freaking solo. There's one line, and I was like, "What?" Anyway,
so cool.
But this is not. This is okay. Anyway, a bit of bass vibes there, but later on in this track, let me just find this.
Bass vibes, mate.
Yeah.
Whoa! Oh, dang!
He played that, and I was like, ah!
Wow, man, that is so cool.
Oh, incredible. It's so good. Yeah, I'm super pumped about it.
When's it coming out?
I don't know. I'm doing all of the lessons because I'm doing lessons for all of the... So basically, all of the album's going to be going on Spotify and all of those places. We're also going to be putting the album... We're going to be releasing it over 9 weeks onto YouTube, every single week. Yep. And then as we release them, you're going to be able to go and get sort of like the lead sheets, maybe the tab and notation as well.
Wow.
And then if you... What if you're a member of SBL, you'll also be able to get the backing tracks, so the bassless version of it.
So sick.
And then there's also going to be like a 30-minute tutorial for each of the pieces where I teach you all of like how I'm doing what I'm doing, my approach to playing over those songs, how I learned them, how I'm playing all of the riffs, because there's some real challenges in there and how I'm soloing over the different chord sequences and my different approaches. Yeah, so members, keep a lookout.
Amazing.
It's gonna be cool. So I think in terms of date, we're probably, what's the date now? I'm like, so maybe early September, mid-September.
Man, I can't wait. It's been so fun to just like go through this journey with you. I mean, remember how like right before you did it, just how stressed, and getting all that material together, and
it's not a lot of work,
stressed,
yeah.
But just like, yeah, just the amount of attention you had to pay to make that music really good, you know? And then the point where too, where you were like, I've practiced this enough. I have to let it go. It's going to be what it's going to be.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Dude, yeah. Because you were working on it so hard. We would talk about it every episode. Like, how's it going? You're like, oh man, you know, I'm devoting this amount of hours per week to it. And I think you're like, dude, it is, you know, and dude, it's like, it's that thing of like, how do you eat an elephant?
Yeah.
One bite at a time.
Yeah. Poor elephant.
Yeah, I suppose. It's probably got to be a better, like more animal friendly analogy than that one. But that's the one I know. So it's the one I said. How do you climb a mountain one step at a time? Sucks.
An elephant. Yeah.
That's like the elephant was in front of you, you know?
Yeah.
And instead of just like, I mean, that's something too that I think would be really beneficial for you to talk about in this material. material somewhere, somehow, is like being vulnerable about what this took.
Yeah.
You know, and that so people shouldn't expect that to get this, you know, stuff and just be able to do it right away. This is a lot of work, and be transparent about the work that you did to make this happen, because it was, you took this very seriously. You prepped really hard for it. And then there was that moment where you were just like, I have to let it go. It's going to be what it's going to be. And look at you now, Scott.
It was
Devine,
the Friday, right? Wasn't it?
Album.
We were recording the next week. I got to the Friday and I was like, I'm out. I've got no more left in the tank.
It's like, I've done this enough.
Yeah, practice enough. Yeah. Freaking cool.
It's anyway, so cool. It's coming out.
It's coming out soon. Yeah. Guys, girls, thank you so much for listening. As always, as I said, if you want to check out the Technique Accelerator, just go to sblrocks.com and you'll find over there, open for enrollment once a year, and this is it. It'll be closing enrollment super soon. And hey, just to put it out there as well, you can actually do the first 30 days of the course, and if it doesn't rock your world in every single way, you can just ask for your money back. So there's zero risk. You know, you can go through the first month of the 6-month program and just say, hey, actually, it's not for me, and we'll just send you your money back. So go check it out, sblrocks.com. And really enjoyed the conversation, dude.
Oh, so fun, man. So fun. Absolutely. Great hanging.
Guys, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Take care, everybody.